Well, here we go. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Got my Coronas. Sorry that it's so late. I didn't get to, visit the Bleeker location, which I did get to visit, but not long enough to film. Because we got another store down there. The investors and the backers are so happy with everything that we're doing and that I'm doing and are behind me 100%. And it's beautiful. Yesterday was a beautiful day. As rainy and as damp as it was beautiful. You know, we hung out at the Village Tavern afterwards. They took me to lunch at Peter Luger's. Somehow the investors from Europe knew that was one of my favorite restaurants. I actually held my bachelor party there the first time. Yes, the first time. So yeah, we wound up ending the night at the Village Tavern, and then I got home and I had to film this, and I got a great story for you guys today. I put a couple of the guests aside. We got plenty of weeks for that. I kind of wanted to touch on a story that I was told a long time ago. It's not in the book, so I'm able to tell it. It's the Hoffa story. My mother, if she was alive, she would have been close to 80. So her uncle was around, probably would have been around 100, 103 if he was still alive. Owned a barbershop on Hesta. My family was from the Village, my mother's side. Like I said, I didn't associate with them. But he was a made guy in the Gambino family. I don't know his ranks. I don't know how far he made it. I know he died of natural causes. I don't like to talk about him because it's not my place to. I kind of touch on it once in a while. He hung out at Neil's Club, and I was passing down there yesterday and seeing it, and it brought back memories of an old-timer who was sitting in on the Five Families conversation, not specifically all the Five Families, about the Hoffa hit. And how it was explained to me when they hit Kennedy, Trafficante, Sam Giancana, Carlos Marcello from New Orleans, they never asked the Five Families permission, which they would probably never gave the go-ahead on that, as they didn't with the Bobby Kennedy situation. Something that very outside the box on the Five Families back then. And the Hoffa thing, they did. It was an East Coast thing. It was Russell Bufalino and Angelo Bruno. Now, the only people that know that story are them two. They set it up. They orchestrated it. They weren't bosses, and they weren't considered dons for no reason. Very smart gentlemen. And I know there's a lot of people out there that call themselves experts. I call them historians because I've heard the stories from the mouth, from people that were at sit-downs, and I was a social club kid, and I was very young at the time, like I said, and these guys would have been, some of them in their 90s, some of them in their 100s, I'm 6, 7, 8 years old, these guys, like I said, were my mother's uncles, and very, very much older than my mother, and like I said, my mother probably would have been close to 80 if she was still alive. But again, let's go. Great day. Happy Cinco de Mayo. I don't drink, especially beer. So stomach's killing me today. But this is a Cinco de Mayo episode, and I'm going to give you the Hoffa story. They come to New York. They ask permission. Now, one of the reasons that swayed the families into letting it happen was Hoffa touching a made man, which was the fight with Tony P, right? You can't touch a made guy. Now, those are the rules. Those are the rules back then. Even though Tony P got the best of them, that's the situation. And when Hoffa was away on the other bid, well, one bid that he did that Tony P wasn't there, Tony P was the president of the union, you know? Could the union have been started, and could have the men been developed the way they were without Hoffa? Probably not. But once the machine got moving, it just needed somebody to helm it. and Tony P was able to do that. They didn't need Hoffa anymore. So when they called in this hit to get done, I could tell you this. Probably the guy who actually did the hit didn't even know who he was hitting and didn't even probably know until probably a month. I don't know, probably is a big word in this conversation, after it was done. Nobody did. From the person who drove him to the person that either burned him, chopped him up, or put him in the water. Nobody knew. Was he putting cement? No. Is he the goalpost in Giant Stadium? No. Listen, when I was into bookmaking big time and we needed the Giants to score or the opposing team to score, we'd always would say, put one in Hoffa. You know what I mean? Put one in Hoffa when we needed a touchdown. But that was just an ongoing joke inside the social clubs that I frequent, besides the ones that I was at when I was a child in Little Italy. Yesterday brought back a lot of memories because guys were in from Europe and we were showing them around the village and a lot of things, you know, a lot of Swiss things, a lot of European things, and it was beautiful. They set the lunch up for me, like I said, at Peter Luger's. It was just great. But getting back to the story. So, from the guy that drove him, from the guy that hit him, from the guy that cut him up, from the guy that brought him to where he had to be brought, to either, burned, put in the water, nobody knew. Not even supposedly the closest person to him that drove him. Hoffa was at so many sit-downs, there was no way that he would have known that this was the sit-down that was going to end his life. And that's the truth of it. And he was never scared. Tough East Coast guy. So he was never scared. And didn't think, and this is something that we use in the life. No one's bigger than the life. And in Hoffa's case, nobody was bigger than the Teamsters. And he thought he was. They replaced him. They replaced him even better. The union was even thriving even better without him anymore as president. He brought too much heat. Yes, would there be a lot of heat if he was hit the way Kennedy was? Absolutely. That's why he had to disappear. So, say the person that drove him. They dropped him off. They were told not to wait, not to come back. He walks inside the house. Person doesn't know who he's going to put one in the, in the back of the head of. That person walks in, he puts it in the back of the head, he walks out the door. Hoffa could have been anybody, not even paying attention. He's doing his job, his contract, and he's getting out of there. Then there's somebody there that's going to cut the head off. Because wherever they bring the body, no one's going to know that it's Hoffa. That head's going to get smashed, put in a garbage bag, thrown in a dump, burned in a barrel in the backyard. Then somebody's going to clean the house up. Because nobody truly knew the house for a long time. So, how I was told, it was 6 months before anybody started putting the pieces together. Like, wow, I think I drove Hoffa to his death. Wow, it might have been Hoffa who I put one in the back of his head. Wait, that might have been the body of Hoffa that I burned. There was only two people that knew. And these two people were old school G's. And you know what? There was one person called Don, and that was Don Carlo, who held court in Ferrara's Bakery, which me and investors and people that believe in my future had a few cannolis at yesterday. So they were just the same. Angelo Bruno, class act when it comes to being a wise guy. Russell Buffalino, he had the Buffalino crime family. You don't get a Buffalino crime family by being anything but a real G. Not even Angelo Bruno. He was the Philadelphia mob. And Russell Buffalino actually looked up to Angelo Bruno. So, these were the two guys that orchestrated Hoffa's demise with the permission of the five families. Because you can't deny a maid guy's request for a guy to disappear. Now, was that the full conversation? We won't know. Because it was only the upper echelon back then allowed in the room. Nobody else. If you were an advisor and you were Sicilian, maybe. And let's not forget, Russell Bufalino and Angelo Bruno were both Sicilian. You weren't in that room. So, there was somebody in that room that knew this story as I'm telling it to you. And that person told people that were under him that what was going to happen and how it happened. And they were also Sicilian. So, from the guy that drove him, from the house that they used, from the guy that put one in the back of his head, from the guy that either burnt them or the guy that put them in the water, nobody knew that they were in on the Hoffa hit until at least, I would say, 90 days to 6 months, as it was told to me. I got a pretty good memory, and this story is one that I remember for the ages because it was my dream to be, well, not dream, but to be a bookmaker. I love the way they rolled. I know bookmakers to this day that haven't been touched. For those that think that, you know, I'm bad, which I won't touch on that, that are still walking around today being bookmakers. Okay? Bookmakers that I talk to today still walking around without a felony or a misdemeanor. So, and talking to me because they know my colors. Usually anybody that's doing this, you're no good anyway because you're not supposed to be speaking this. But we live in different time and different ages. So being called certain things, it's not like what it used to be. If you were called certain things as I was and other guys that I know, those were death sentences if you didn't have paperwork. And nobody has the right paperwork today. It's photocopies. It's scorned women paying men or asking men or giving out a piece of ass to men to call people, to write things, to put things up. So it's a lot different today. But if you're talking about it, you're no good. And as I said on Vlad and other shows, I'm no good. Because if I was in the life and somebody was doing what I was doing, I'd consider them no good, regardless of anything. And is there proof? Is there a document saying I was going to be a maid guy? No. But if you were in the streets and you knew what was going on and you know my name and things I've done, you know what I was supposed to be. As we did an episode with a certain person who's been violated out of respect for the family, I won't mention his name. The whole episode was majority of him talking about how people made a lot of claims against me that weren't true because he was in the street and he was with a certain captain that told them what I was getting when I was coming home. But that's neither here nor there. Like I said, getting back to Hoffa, not even the people close to him, and which was so smart, which people took Angelo Bruno and Russell Bufalino not to be the smartest guys in the world, they pretty much were, especially when you got a family named after you. And they planned it to the T, not to make the same mistake that the guys in the Midwest and the West did with Kennedy, which was a stupid idea. I actually got married on the day that Kennedy was assassinated, his anniversary. No politics involved, but I was a Kennedy fan. Really didn't know too much about Bobby Kennedy, even though he's a Democrat in New York, and the five families would have definitely not approved that. But, you know, they had guys that wanted to be martyrs, like Jack Ruby, looking to risk his life to cover it up. And this is what guys had. And you know what? Russell Bufalino and Angelo Bruno did that. Didn't make people martyrs, but made people not incriminated, such as the five families. They didn't want to know how it was going to be done. Didn't know when it was going to be done. Didn't know how it was going to be done. They knew it was going to be done. And like I said, the only two people knew how, when, where, and where it was going to go down, or what it was going to go down, or all the logistics with them two. Like I said, them too. Nobody there calls them experts know this. I don't care what they tell you. They can tell you reasons. They can tell you why. Was it specifically because he touched Tony P? No. But that's a death sentence. You sign your own death certificate. Regardless, win or lose, I don't care if Tony P gave him a beating. He put his hands on him. Them's the rules. So if that's what they walked in there with, that's what you get permission for. And they played it out like Machiavelli to the T. These guys lived to the, what, 90s, 80-something, and it was never spoken about because that's who they were. No body, no crime. I mean, today, a ham sandwich gets you indicted and gets you 20 years. Three guys stand up and say, not even the same exact story, just that you were a whatever, and you're indicted, and you're looking at a mandatory minimum, which, from my understanding, don't even exist anymore. So, that's what happened. There was a guy that put a bullet in his head, walked out the door. There was a guy that cut his head off, burnt it, smashed it, walked out the door. There was a guy that cleaned the house up after the body disappeared or the room that he was taking care of in, walked out the door. The guy that drove him didn't realize it till 3 months later when he was reported missing. And then the guy that they take him to the crematory to have him burnt had no idea what body he was burning because, like I said, nobody really knew he was missing. Such as the guy who probably dropped him in the water in pieces that cut him up. Didn't know the body he was cutting up. And that is the story of Hoffa. You could go on these news channels. You could read the books. Came to New York. They asked permission. Didn't give specifics. Didn't give the logistics. That was Russell Bufalino. And that was Angelo Bruno. And it was calculating. And it was smart. And there was no use for him anymore. They were thriving with the Teamsters and didn't need him anymore. And thought, no body, no crime. It wouldn't have been as big as the Kennedy. And I kind of studied the Kennedy assassination in school. The politics behind it, and I don't think anybody ever got it right. But I kind of think the Hoffa story is spoken about a lot more. And he wasn't even Italian or a wise guy. Or he really wasn't relevant when they did it. Because, like I said, the Teamsters were being run like a fine old machine without him. But that's the story. Nobody involved in the Hoffa hit knew or had any idea besides, again, Russell Bufalino and Angelo Bruno. And they're both dead. Dead man tells no tales. The book's thriving, on its way to go. Great news from the publishing company yesterday. Great news all the way around yesterday. It's just a beautiful day. Just a beautiful day, you know. I even got to throw in some charity and help some people out and certain situations, and the merch is coming. We closed on another store, and like I said, crematory, the ocean, it's that simple. There's no reason to read a 400-page book. There's no reason to go on and listen to these stories. The guy who drove them, the guy that put one right behind his ear, the guy that cleaned up the mess, the guy that cut his head off, the guy that chopped the body up, the guy that burnt them or threw him in the water. Nobody knew it was him. The first people that started to have an inkling that it might have went down that day could have been about 3 months after it all happened. That's too late. Because by then, there's a million stories and they're told the wrong way. Within a year, then everybody starts putting things together, and the new Giant Stadium was going up at the time, and he was in the cement, he was in this, he was in that. This person nowhere is buried. Guys like Hoffa don't get buried, okay? If it's not a public assassination, bodies don't get buried. Bodies disappear, especially with guys like Russell Bufalino and Angelo Bruno. The gentle and the quiet bonds. And like I said, the only guy that you ever called Don was Don Carlo. And those guys were considered Dons. It's a shame the way Angelo Bruno went out, but the new always replaced the old. The young always take it over, no matter what. Youth is wasted on the young. I've been told that since I was a kid. And thinking back about this story and the men that told me this story, straightened out men at the time, men of respect, makes me feel a little old. Doing a little inventory check on myself. New show coming. Probably true crime series. Don't know yet what direction. Sonova Cantrell's in charge of all of that. But I'll be on a lot more. Doing a little bit more. I'll still be giving my once a week on YouTube for all my supporters. Which I have to say, I have the greatest supporters ever. Ever. I can't imagine how so many of you reached out to me yesterday and asked me to put an episode up. More supporters reached out to me and asked me to put an episode up than I had followers. I had to accept people and put them into my Instagram to hear them ask for a new episode. You're going to get the Cosa Nostra and you're going to get the goods. And what I'm telling you right here, right now, is and was as simple as the Hoffa hit coming from the horse's mouth. Exactly what happened. Two people, Russell Bufalino and Angelo Bruno. Nobody else knew till months and years after. Nobody knows where the body is because there isn't one. And no, believe me, there's nothing going on in Giant MetLife, Giant Stadium, and Goalpost, nothing like that. Those two gentlemen were way too smart for any of that. And that's why the body's never been found. And I promise you this, if anybody talks about knowing where the Hoffa body is, their doors would be kicked in within minutes of them saying that. And they would be dragged to a holding cell, which would be the hole until they told them where it was. It's gone. It's over with. He was a regular person like anybody else at the time. Did he start the Teamsters? Did he make it what it was back then? Yes. Did Tony P make it better? Did the vice presidents, the treasuries, the delegates make it even better? Absolutely. There's no use for him anymore. The problem was, he didn't believe that he was smaller than the life. In his case, smaller than the Teamsters, that it couldn't be run without them. He was away, he got 5 years in the feds, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know how much time they made him do back then. And it grew while he was away. And you know what? He was a people of the men. And he was a stand-up guy, he was a tough guy. Fought with them in the streets. I heard stories about him from guys that knew him from Pittsburgh. Yes, 100% stand-up guy. And I'm actually going to have a lot of guys on from Philly. A lot of Kingston, guys from Kingston, yeah. I'm going to have a lot of, you know, stand-up guys on the show. So all my Cosa Nostra guys, all my street guys that want to see, we're going to have it. We're going to have the episodes. Don't worry about it. But I'm going to mix it up. We got to represent our women. Our women are power. So stick with me or don't stick with me. It's up to you guys. You want the real, you're going to get it from me. I'm not reading from the idiot's guide to Cosa Nostra. Well, people call it the mafia. So if you go on a show and you hear a guy call it the mafia, I'm not telling you to stop listening to him, but don't believe what they have to say. They know it's not called the mafia, but they want to get it. They want to get your attention, so they write that at the bottom. I won't. I'm not trying to gather anybody's attention. My name, my stories, and my reputation should gather that on its own. And one more thing before I go. Anybody speaking about the life is no good. Bottom line. Okay? It took me 5 years to even have a conversation. From when I thought about it till I spoke about it, about Cosa Nostra. In 38 years, I've never spoken about it. But it took me five to come to turn four, and then spoke about it the last year, you know, this last year. And that's it for now. And next week, I'll be coming back with a great interview. All right, guys? Stay up. Be positive. And always represent the right Cosa Nostra. Retire. Have a great Cinco de Mayo, guys. Take care.